Yo, what's up? It's your boy, the host with the most. I'm Chris the Dime One. Welcome to episode 23 of the One Man, One Mic podcast. We're going to have a jam-packed show today. We're going to be talking about a lot of things in the NBA, the NFL, some gaming news, Major League Baseball. We have it locked here, okay? So, without further ado, let's get into today's topics. The first topic I want to talk about is a little gaming news. I don't know if there's a lot of people who are listening to this podcast are concerned about gaming news, but I try to be as brief as possible. We're going to be talking about Crackdown 3. It came out, and a lot of people are not too happy with this particular game. It's getting a bad score. A lot of people who review games on YouTube, as well as gaming blogs, gaming journalists, they're not singing the praises of this game. Okay, so before I go into what I think about it, first, I like to state this for the record. I do not go by what, reviewers interpret certain games. Okay, because let's just be fair and let's be honest. We're human. We're biased to a lot of things. And if you was never a fan of Crackdown, if you wasn't never going to attempt to purchase this game, if you have an axe to grind with the developer or Microsoft, you're going to factor all of those things in when you're reviewing this game, like it or not, love it or hate it. I don't think there's a human out there that can separate their emotion to try to be as fair as possible. I mean, I feel like we try to be as fair as we possibly can, but I don't think you can just go into something and don't factor your emotion into the equation. Okay, so that being said, I don't go by what reviewers say about a particular game. And the one thing a lot of people make the mistake of is judging a game by its score. Okay, I feel like that is outdated. That's been the score has been in the gaming industry since the beginning of time. It hasn't changed. It hasn't evolved. Okay, it's always about the story, the graphics, and their interpretation of the game, how they feel about the game. And I feel like a lot of reviewers, and I'm not saying, I feel like a lot of reviewers don't really give a game a fair shot. They don't spend a lot of time in it. And I understand they have deadlines. A lot of reviewers, a lot of journalists have deadlines. Okay, and they have to make these deadlines. And they also want to put their review out before anybody else. Okay, so they're not going to get the time to fully experience the game. Okay, so but with all that being said, and I already wasted a lot of time, with all that being said, this is not a good game. Okay, if you are a Crackdown hardcore fan, if you love this franchise, then by all means, pick up the copy, okay, if you're a hardcore fan, okay, because you understand the nuances of this game. This game is not going to be a highly demanding graphical game, okay? This game, this franchise is not going to stretch the imagination and evolve and change, okay? It didn't with the previous games, and likewise with this game. So you already know, going into this game is what it is. It's a shell-based game. It kind of reminds you of Saturday morning cartoons. This game, this franchise has never been strong on story. Okay, so you already know going in what type of game this is going to be. All right. Now, with that being said, for the rest of the gamers out there who are new to this, to Crackdown, you're not going to like this game. And to be fair, to be completely honest, I feel like a lot of people who have time and experience with Crackdown, they may not like this game as well, okay? Because of, I feel like this game is outdated. I felt like if this game was released in 2007, I feel like the scores would be a little bit more higher. I think the interest would be a little bit more higher. I think a lot of gamers would give it a shot. I feel like also Microsoft put this game out to die, okay? They put it out in the same month when The Division 2 comes out, when Anthem comes out. And you already got a lot of games out there that have already established their mark, you know, in gaming and in gamers. A lot of gamers are still purchasing and buying and still playing these games. And I felt like this game should have been released a long time ago. I felt like if you're going to delay this game, at least allow this game some time to breathe. I feel like they should have released this game. I understand they don't want to hurt and put this game out because it was a lot of pressure out there to hurry up and get this game out because this game should have been out a long time ago, okay? So if you're going to put this game out, give it some justice, okay? You know, if you can't put it out any earlier, I felt like if you put it out in the months, like the summer months when there's not really a lot of games out, okay, I felt like that would have been a perfect time to put this game out, okay? But to me, the game itself, and I'm not going to spoil it, the game itself, when you talk about the story, it's not a very entertaining or a type of story that's going to keep you immersed in the game. It's a very below average story. When you talk about the enemies, the AI, they are dumb. It really doesn't matter what difficulty you play this game in. They continue to be dumb. They will allow you. They're like bullet sponges. They will allow you to shoot them. And they're looking at you. And they will not shoot back. Okay? I feel like, if you're new to Crackdown, in order to enhance the power of your agent, you have to go through the city and collect orbs, kills, get skill. I played the game in 8 hours, and in an 8 hour time span, I'm like 80% done with the game. I'm not doing the other objectives that don't have anything to do with the story mode. And I didn't collect all the orbs. I didn't kill a lot of enemies because kills get skills. And my enemy and my agent is already at the point where he's powerful anyway. Okay. I done collected enough weapons to dispose of my enemies. All I got is an underboss and the main boss, and I'm done with the game. Okay. So the story is what it is. It's just a basic generic, below generic story. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay. You do the same thing constantly throughout the story. Okay. If you want to play, if you want to include the objectives, take over a lot of the precincts in the city. And then once you capture those precincts, okay, now you have control with it. You can also safe houses. Once you capture those safe houses, you can be able to spawn at those safe houses, okay? And you basically go through the story by killing the enemy AI, the captain of the sergeant of that AI, the captain of that sergeant, and then the underboss and then the main boss, and rinse and repeat. It's pretty much that type of game. It's not changing anything like so many other franchises already out there. Halo has changed through the years. Gears have changed through the years. Forza have changed through the years. Mario has changed through the years. God of War changed through the years. Metal Gear Solid changed through the years. Okay, they keep innovating and evolving with the gaming culture, and Crackdown hasn't. Now, to be also fair, Crackdown was never meant to be that type of game. Crackdown is never going to be a candidate of Game of the Year, okay? Crackdown is a point-and-shoot type of game. It's a generic game for casual gamers, and I feel like a lot of casual gamers are going to not like this game after, you know, a couple of hours into it, because it's you're doing the same thing from when you're doing the same thing constantly through the whole entire game. OK, there's no puzzles in this game. OK, it's just a generic game where, you know, you just point and shoot. And that's pretty much it based on the game. Now, if you like to play games that have an immersive story to it, then this is not the game for you. Excuse me for a second. This is not going to be the game for you. Okay. I never played the multiplayer. My opinion, there's not a lot of meat on the bone for the multiplayer. And the one caveat about the multiplayer is it's got lock on aim. Okay. You got lock on aim on multiplayer. I don't think a lot of hardcore gamers are going to, they might play one or two games, but then that's just about it. You know, just to, see how it runs, see how it plays. As far as your character, leveling up in multiplayer, there's really, no nuance into that. You don't upgrade the guns. You don't upgrade your suit. You don't upgrade your powers. Okay. You're just basically playing the same maps, doing the same thing over and over and over and over. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Call of Duty has that type of nuance. What makes Call of Duty different and separates from Crackdown is, at least with Call of Duty, not only, you know, there's kill streaks, there's a lot of factors in the multiplayer aspect of Call of Duty that keeps people constantly playing it. Okay, they play for the skins, they play for enough credit to purchase it by just simply playing the game. If you collect enough credits, you can purchase skins and camos and all that good stuff, make your gun better, upgrade your gun, things of that nature. So there's a lot of factors in Call of Duty that keeps people continuing to play, you know, Call of Duty. And in my opinion, a lot of people are going to say this argument, well, Crackdown doesn't have a lot of content in it. And I can name several games that really don't have a lot of content in it. But the one thing that separates those games from Crackdown is those games have things in it that keeps you constantly playing it. With Crackdown, it doesn't, okay? But it's not the content per se. It's more so of all the other small nuances of the game, okay? It's like I said earlier about Call of Duty. That's why a lot of people continue to play Call of Duty, because of the little small nuances, and particularly in multiplayer. So, even though Call of Duty didn't have a story, Crackdown 2 has Crackdown has a campaign. But when you talk about the multiplayer aspects, I don't really see a lot of meat on the bone with that. And to make it matters even worse, play with your friends as of right now, okay? Because they don't have it embedded in the game. Now, I'm pretty sure later on with a couple of patches, they will include it. I didn't play co-op through the campaign. I don't think you can play co-op with random people. Because when I tried, when the game first came out, the only way I can play co-op was with my friends. Okay? So, I think there's a lot of stuff they need to iron out and fix with this game. But even, I feel like Microsoft is not, they'll install a couple of patches with the game, but they're not going to be fully immersed in the game to the point where they're going to add content to it, add DLC to it, okay? I feel like a lot of people feel this way as well, that when you look at Sea of Thieves, when you look at all the other games that came out and they come through Game Pass first, and what you notice about those games, including Crackdown, is it's a game that you may be interested in for a couple of days, but then after that, you're moving on to something else. And like I said on previous other social media accounts, I feel like Game Pass, to me, you're not going to get a lot of quality. You're going to get a lot of quantity with Game Pass. Sort of much like Netflix in the early stages of Netflix. Netflix had a lot of older shows and movies that people may dabble into, but they're not going to spend a whole weekend watching watching seasons of a generic show. But as Netflix got bigger and better, they started having shows that are mainly created for the Netflix subscriber base. They started having movies for the Netflix subscriber base. There's one movie in particular. It's got Ben Affleck. It looks like a very interesting movie that's going to be featured on Netflix, and that's a quality type of movie. Okay, but in the beginning stages of Netflix, they started off with a bunch of generic below average movies and TV shows that people may spend a couple hours watching, and then let's move on to something else. Okay, and that's pretty much how to me Game Pass is assembled. Okay, you got a lot of quantity there, but not a lot of quality there. I don't feel like there's a lot of games on Game Pass that people are going to constantly, I have to download this game. They may download it and they may play it for a couple of days, maybe possibly a week, and then they move on to the next thing, particularly when new games are releasing. For every new game that's released and that's interesting and people willing to spend $60 on, that's one less game you're not going to pay on Game Pass. And I feel like Game Pass is a gift and a curse, sort of say. And I feel like I feel like Microsoft is State of Decay, Sea of Thieves, Crackdown. I feel like they're not putting or emphasizing, let's make a quality game instead of making a quantity game. Okay, so that's my point on. Sorry, I went left on it, but Crackdown overall, I feel like if you have Game Pass, why not download it? Okay, it's a new game, it's free, even though you're spending $10. Or if you're not interested in any other games that are out there over the weekend, like The Division and or Anthem or whatever, you can rent Crackdown at Redbox for 1 or 2 days, and I feel like you'll have a lot of fun with those 1 or 2 days, and then return it, or if you got Gamefly. But I feel like Crackdown, if you're buying this game as $60, I don't think it's worth $60. But at the same time, I don't think it's that bad of a game. It's a game that, to me, that takes you away from your average game that you've been playing, and you probably are getting fatigued with the games that you've been playing. So it's a game that you can put in, play for a couple of hours, maybe invest a weekend in, and then you go back to what you've been doing. Okay, I think it's that type of game. I don't think it's a $60 game. I think it's like I mentioned, that I think the best way to purchase this game, if you're leaning on the fence on whether or not, is to pick up Game Pass and to purchase, and to download this game. But to spend $60, I think, is a little bit too much. Okay, so let's go into some NFL news. Antonio Brown pretty much had a meeting with Art Rooney and the Rooney family, the Steelers organization. And they just simply agreed to disagree, and they're going to grant his wishes and try to get him traded to an NFL team. Okay, and to me, Antonio Brown got a little T.O. in him. Okay, and I love Terrell Owens. Okay, but I felt there were certain situations in Terrell Owens' NFL career where if he just set back, and if you can sit him down, I think he will have a lot of regrets on a lot of decisions that he made. Okay, I think he burned a few bridges, and I feel like there was a lot of coaches out there that had bias against T.O. because a lot of coaches out there saw how much power T.O. had, you know, and social media was just now, you know, it was, social media was always there, but I felt like T.O. persuaded and got his message out without even using the media, and the media had an axe to grind with him. So you would get a lot of T.O. stories and how T.O. feels about certain coaches, certain teams, and all that jazz through social media. And I felt like Terrell Owens got bigger that way and had more muscle to flex. And, you know, I'm not going to say control, but he had a voice. And that turned off a lot of these old school NFL coaches like Bill Parcells and others. Okay. A lot of coaches did not like how T.O. handled certain things. Okay. But with that being said, Antonio Brown got that same type of quality in him. He knows and he identifies that he's more in, he can be a bigger influence through the Steelers or any other NFL team through social media, because he don't necessarily have to build a relationship with the media so the media can get his, how he feels, and get his word out. Even though the media, I don't think anyone in the media is 100% for Antonio Brown, particularly a lot of his antics, okay? But with social media, a lot of athletes like Antonio Brown and others, now they have flexibility. Now they have, they have influence on their message. And their message is not going to be muffled out through the media. Okay, so Antonio Brown talked to Art Rooney, and they basically said, look, if you're not going to be happy here, I think the best course of action is to trade you. And I feel like, Antonio, people are going to have to realize in football, it's a lot different than basketball and baseball. You can play a little bit longer in basketball and still have a huge impact, okay? Because it's a more ball dominant type of system where you don't necessarily have to have a lot of pieces around you to be very influencer, to be an influence on the court, okay? To be a factor on the court. The same could be said about baseball in some instances where you don't, in baseball, you can play a little bit longer in baseball, particularly if you're a pitcher or just an infielder, because of the tempo of baseball, it's not going to be athletically demanding, and you can preserve yourself a lot longer in baseball on that factor. With football, you can't take plays off. You know, every play is a must, okay? And you run the risk of injury on every play from every hit. And age do play a huge factor and a huge part on whether or not you're going to be able to, make a 10-year NFL career. You know, it's not a lot of 10-year NFL people saying, I've been in the NFL for 10 years, okay? And if you make it to that point, how much of a factor are you? Because every hit you take is getting you closer to retirement, particularly these bigger hits, okay? So, Antonio Brown, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, but Antonio Brown is 30 years old as a receiver. How much of a factor, and he's also in a position that it's not going to be ball demanding. In other words, when he has the ball, he can't, he's not going to have a higher percentage holding the ball and controlling the outcome of the game like in basketball. He's not going to be able to have an opportunity to preserve his career like baseball. Because like I said, infielders, they're not going to get a lot of pop flies. You know, infielders are not going to run the risk of serious injuries, okay? And you can pretty much ice out an infielder in a baseball game, okay? But Antonio Brown is in the category of he's a receiver. He's 30 years old. And are you going to get the same Antonio Brown that Pittsburgh had throughout the majority of his career? I feel like he's going to have flashes depending on what system he's in. And depending on, does he understand that he's not going to get the ball all the time? I feel like those are factors where where Antonio Brown is going to have to understand. If Pittsburgh trades him, if they don't trade him to a contender, like, and I apologize for the rain, like the Patriots, or I don't even see if this team is going to be really interested in him, like the Chiefs. But maybe the Rams. If he embraces himself in those systems, he's going to have to understand that these are system-oriented organizations where they don't necessarily need, they're not going to throw the ball the majority of the time to you. Because he's going to, whatever team he goes to, if he wants to win, he's going to have pretty much the same setup as what he has in Pittsburgh. Okay? I feel like he's going to be happy a little, but as the season goes on, and particularly a lot of these organizations and their systems, how they run, I don't think he's going to be happy there either. Okay? And he's 30 years old. How much left, how much tire is left on that traction where he's going to be a dominant force in the NFL? And I just, you know, I don't think, be careful what you wish for when you're dealing with receivers like Antonio Brown. Be careful what you wish for, okay? And briefly, real quick, with the NBA, we talked briefly on the, I'm going to go real fast, real quick on Anthony Davis. I felt like the Pelicans screwed that up. I felt like Magic Johnson screwed that up. Rob Pelinka, LeBron James, Clutch Sports. I feel like everybody screwed that up to the point where now when you look at it, Anthony Davis, now they got to play Anthony Davis through the rest of the season, the Pelicans, and they can't really play him seriously because if he gets injured, then that diminish his trade value, okay? So the Pelicans have to be smart on when they play him, when they're going to pull him out. Alvin Gentry is not happy with this decision because now he said, quote, it's a dumpster fire, which is it clearly is. And there's going to be a lot of games where Anthony Davis could be a factor, but they can't demand a lot of minutes on him because if he gets injured, it diminishes his trade value. Okay? And clearly, the Pelicans are trying to lose games so they can get a better lottery pick, okay? So, the Pelicans are not happy or pleased with the situation that they currently find themselves in. Dale Demps has been fired. Danny Ferry is going to be an intern. I'm telling you right now, he is going to be the next GM of the Pelicans. Either him and I'm trying to think of the GM that was the GM for the Cleveland Cavaliers when they was, I can't think of his name right now. Right now, he's, you know, he's doing analysis work for NBA and ESPN and Fox, things of that nature. Can't think of his name right off the tip of my head. I used to remember his name all the time. It may come and it may not come, but I feel like those are going to be the two candidates that's going to be the next GM for the Pelicans. And once the Pelicans announce either of those GMs when in the offseason, they're going to make phone calls with a lot of teams, and they're going to make the best trade, the best deal that benefits the New Orleans Pelicans. Okay, now a lot of dominoes are going to drop, and I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know what's going to transpire and what's going to happen then this off season. Okay, Kevin Durant. A lot of people say that Kevin Durant's going to go to the Knicks because now the Knicks done freed up money. A lot of people got Kevin Durant pretty much everywhere. If everybody feels like Kevin Durant is going to Kevin Durant somehow, some way is it wants to run and lead his own franchise. Okay, I'm here to tell you guys, you can kill that noise. Kevin Durant knows where his butter is breaded the most. Chances are he's going to stay with the Golden State Warriors because he knows he's trying to chase someone, and it's not a ghost. LeBron James has been trying to chase Michael Jordan. I feel like LeBron James had an amazing career, but if he tries to compare his achievements with Jordan, team achievements, I'm talking about team achievements, not individual achievements, he has failed short. And now a lot of players are looking at LeBron James's team achievements, his success, and they're going like, well, damn, Kevin Durant knows that he's two championships away to eclipse LeBron James. He has already won his second All-Star game. If he stays with the Golden State Warriors, he has an opportunity to win his third All-Star game. I don't think All-Star games are important, to be honest with you. But if he stays with the Golden State Warriors, they're guaranteed, they're locked in to win this year. And if he stays the next year, there's a chance, an opportunity for them to win the championship next year. Okay, with all that being said, so Kevin Durant is going to stay with the Golden State Warriors. Kyrie Irving is going to stay with the Boston Celtics, and here's why. Remember when Kyrie Irving was talking about his current team? They're young. They don't understand what it takes to win. They kind of reminded him. His younger teammates reminded them of him when he was young, and when LeBron James was trying to coach Kyrie Irving, say, hey, look here, man, I know you're young, buck, but you have to do certain things if you want to win championships. Kyrie Irving didn't want to hear that, and a lot of people say, well, he demanded a trade, get up out of there, because he didn't want to play alongside LeBron James. Truth be told, he demanded a trade because he saw the Cleveland Cavaliers organization, and even though LeBron James is not going to admit to it, LeBron James with this win at all costs, and if it means that we have to trade our own players to keep continuing to win, he didn't care. I feel like LeBron James may have Kyrie Irving's full backing, but at that time, if they could have gotten two good players to continue the run in Cleveland, and two players that LeBron James approved of, and all they had to do was trade Kyrie Irving, they would have done it. Cleveland Cavaliers organization was secretly trading, was trying to find trade scenarios for Kyrie Irving, and they got burnt because they was asking a little bit too much. All right. So that's the real reason why Kyrie Irving left. All right. So back to Kyrie Irving, he's going to stay with Boston because Boston has the best opportunity to win a championship next year. Yeah, the Philadelphia 76ers are going to be in their way, but I feel like Boston has a better team. All right. So he's going to stay with Boston. And if Boston can get AD, Anthony Davis, and all they got to do is give them a trade, and they got enough players and enough picks to make that deal done, and if they can get Anthony Davis, he's going to stay with the Boston Celtics because now they got a big man. Okay? As far as as far as Kawhi Leonard goes, I feel like Kawhi Leonard is at the state and at the point of his career where he has already won a championship. Okay? So he's not chasing a ring. He's basically chasing a different atmosphere. He's chasing an organization and a franchise that's going to back him and support him, that he felt like the San Antonio Spurs organization wasn't doing that for him. So he's chasing for security. He's chasing the bag. He's chasing security. And it wouldn't surprise me none if Kawhi Leonard stays with the Raptors when it's all said and done. Now, there is a scenario where he could go to the Clippers. But I feel in all likelihood, he's probably going to stay with the Raptors. When you talk about, I forgot his name that fast and that quick, played for the 76ers. We'll get back to him a little bit later because I can't think of his name. I'm not talking about Cat. I forgot his name that freaking fast. Okay, forgive me on that. Okay, well, he's been bounced around. He used to play for the Chicago Bulls. Then the Chicago Bulls traded him to the Timberwolves. And now he got traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. In all likelihood, and I'm still trying to think of his name. I wish I was in front of my computer and I would know that fast and that quick. When you talk about him, I feel like he has the possibility of maybe joining up with another team. And when it's all said and done, I'm still trying to think of his name. Oh God, man. I have so many names in my head. But when you talk about him, and y'all know who I'm talking about, in all likelihood, he'll probably leave the 76ers. And the 76ers can read the temperature in the room. That's why they made that trade before the trade deadline, and now they got another big man who can score and who's a team player. And now even if he leaves, they still got their young core plus the trade that they established with the Clippers. If he leaves, and when he leaves, he's going to, I feel like there's an opportunity where he possibly is still chasing. He wants a ring because he doesn't have a ring. He played with Dwayne Wade with the Chicago Bulls. That pretty much failed. He played with a younger group in Minnesota. That failed. And now he played with another young group with the Philadelphia 76ers. And if he leaves, he's probably going to leave and feel like he can't compete. He can't get a chip with a younger core. And he possibly will go to a team that has a lot of veteran players. And I feel like the Lakers are converting into a veteran player atmosphere with their roster. And they're going to be making a lot of trades. Even if they don't get Anthony Davis, they're going to be making a lot of trades to get a lot of veteran players to play alongside LeBron James, because the window with LeBron James is shrinking. Okay, so a Boogie Cousins probably will be going to the Knicks. He's going to go to a franchise. I feel like the Knicks are going to give him max money. I feel like a lot of franchises out there are going to give Boogie Cousins some max money. And Boogie Cousins is going to be, you know, he's going to be in high demand for the trade. I mean, for the offseason. But the but when you're talking about Kyrie, Kevin Durant, I don't see a scenario. Kemba Walker is definitely gone from Charlotte. He's going to sign a max contract elsewhere. It wouldn't surprise me if him and Boogie Cousins pair up with the Knicks. Okay, so that's a possibility as well. But when you talk about the bigger names, and they are all big names, but when you talk about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they're going to stay with their prospective teams and go ahead and make a, they're going to sign max deals with the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson is going to stay. I don't see Klay Thompson going to the Lakers because I don't feel like Klay Thompson's style fits very well with the Lakers when there's nothing. If they can get Anthony Davis, then it's a different story. It's a different ball game. Because even if the Lakers do get Anthony Davis, they still need a shooter. They don't have a shooter currently on their roster. Okay? LeBron James is not going to wait for these young players to develop. I think Kuzma is going to be a good player in the NBA. I feel like Ball is going to be a good player in the NBA, and same as Ingram. But it's going to take time for these guys to develop. So I feel like it's best for you to trade these players to other organizations that can that has the patience and the time to allow them to develop and become better players. And I feel like the Lakers, after 2 or 3 years down the road, they're going to regret the decision they made trading these players for veteran players to play alongside LeBron James. Because if LeBron James ain't playing alongside Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, okay, if he's not playing with that upper echelon of players, then I just don't see them winning a chip with anybody else. I feel like it's going to be a very competitive roster. They're going to have a real good season. When they go, they're going to have a great season. I see them winning more than 55 games. I see them going deep into the playoffs. But when they start running into teams that have a better roster as well, like the Golden State Warriors, they're going to be no match for them. Plus, you have to realize, I think the Sacramento Kings are going to get a lot better next year. The Utah Jazz is going to get a lot better this year. I feel like the Phoenix Suns, they have the talent there. But I just feel like the talent and the culture, as well as the coach, is not gelling together. And it wouldn't surprise me if they, if they fire the coach and they move into a different direction with maybe a new voice and a new leadership over there. Because they have some good talent there. All right. And if they can add, hypothetically speaking, if they can add Alonzo Ball and they don't have to give up none of their young access, their young pieces, that's going to be a very good team. They're not going to be good when it's going to give them a couple years and that team is going to strive. Okay. So I feel like, and I still don't even know the guy's name. I don't know why I want to say Kendall Gill. That's the only name that pops in my head, and that's not his name. That's it on the NBA as well. I could go into details. We talked about Anthony Davis. We talked about Kevin Durant. I could, further in the NBA and why the NBA is getting all of this, why the NBA is scoring so much. The scoring has gone up And you know, it's you, the eyes don't lie. You can just see it in every NBA game. Referees are, I mean, you can't really get physical defensive wise. You can't do a lot of hand checking. You can't do a lot of grabbing. You can't, you know, you can't necessarily get in their way, because if they bump into you, then that's a foul. Okay. So, it's a lot of things you can't do, in the NBA like you used to. Okay. And, this segment is almost done. I appreciate everybody checking out the episode. Please do a brother a favor, applaud this episode, favor this episode, get the word out on this podcast. It's your boy, and I'm out.